Hey, welcome. Welcome to this new episode, 120 episodes. Been doing this a while, and I'm over now here with ATC, All Things Comedy. And one of the starters, founders, owners of that company is my guest today. It's Bill Burr. Yes, Bill Burr, who chose a name. I mean, he got that name. He was born with that name. I was born with my name, because why would I pick my name? But Bill Burr, what a great name. He's like a burr. He sticks to your foot. You like him. You take him with you everywhere. He's a little irritating, but then you realize a burr is a perfect thing. It's almost like a pine cone, but it's not. It's a great metaphor. Why should I continue when I've got a brilliant person who's going to be very relaxed? He told me he's going to be probably in a lay down position when we do this podcast, because we're going to talk for a while. He's incredibly busy. He's finishing up his last season of F is for Family on Netflix. It's the final and fifth season of a great, great show with a great, great cast. He's on tour. Go to BillBurr.com. You can see his tour dates. They're fantastic. He is doing bigger and better venues. I don't know if they're better, but they're bigger. And he's better. I just adore the guy. He's one of the people that is fearless and, dare I say, younger than me, and yet motivates me to do what I do without feeling bad about it, and not hurt anybody's feelings, but for fuck's sake, be able to be funny. He also has a show he's very proud of. It's called Immoral Compass. And that show right now, right this minute, is on the Roku channel in the United States and the UK and Canada. So you want to watch this show. It's shorts. It's all shorts. A guy named Tyler Falbo is incredibly talented, and that's who Bill credits with the making of this show, in addition to appearances by Vince Vaughn and Nick Schwartzen and Marilyn Rice Cub and Bobby Lee and Al Madrigal. And, I mean, so many people are in this damn thing, and Bill and Steven Weber, and it's just something I think you want to check out. Again, it's called Immoral Compass. Look it up. It's on Roku TV and the Roku channel. And those are the credits of the Bill Burr. And I don't give a shit. I love this guy. I love him. And ever since we've been friends, he's tortured me and ripped me apart. And I need it. Because last night, I'm going to be honest with you, I was not at my best. I had a couple things upsetting me. They were human being related, people in my life that I care about, and I let it get to me. And I just wasn't the best husband last night. I was upset. I was a little argumentative. And that's it, just being honest with you. So I'm going into this interview with Bill Burr right now knowing that he's going to rip my asshole apart, figuratively, because I think I deserve it. I deserve it, and my therapist won't return my calls because he knows better now. I'm going to call him right after this episode because I know I'm going to need to, because Bill is about to do things to me that I deserve. And so forgive me for my trespasses as I do say things that might be self-involved, might be about myself. Maybe I try to cut him off, do things I shouldn't do. Got to listen. You're going to do a podcast. Got to listen. And I do listen to him because I fucking love the guy. If you're 16, you can listen. If you're 12, don't listen. Don't listen to this. This is, I don't think you should listen. But if you're 16 and up, I think it's fine. That's what I got. You know where to find this thing. This is where all podcasts are available. You can rate, review, subscribe, follow, whatever you do. You know where it is. It's everywhere that exists that's meaningful, I guess. And, it's, of course, it's through All Things Comedy. And it's also on my YouTube page, which is just a baby growing. So it's youtube.com/Bob Saget. But you get to see a two-shot. Who doesn't want to see a Zoom two-shot? I have a little confidence right now. It's about to be decimated. Here is my friend. I'm sorry. I'm not name-dropping. He says he's my friend. And then, of course, he takes it back. I love this guy. A lot of you love this guy, and with good reason. Here is Bill Burr. That's how I want you, in a hospital bed.
Hello, Bobby.
Hi, Billy Burr.
How you doing?
I'm going to darken myself so I look more like you, like I'm laying. Although your face is always lit. How is that? Do you light from inside? Oh, that's pretty. I get to see where you do it all.
It's a window.
Now, when you're doing your Monday morning podcast,
have we started? There's no intro.
You want to? Oh, I'm going to do an intro separate and say how great you are. I'll do all that shit.
All right.
I'll start now. But we could have started already. What do you want? What are you comfortable with?
Whatever you want to do, Bob. I just would like to know. If this is like we're playing with pads here, is it going on? You know.
Yeah, it's going on. I'm recording it on three different dimensions. It's also on ViewMaster if people want to see 3D slides of you in Rome.
I love the ViewMaster.
Yeah, I do too. I miss it. I really do. I think we're going to go back to it when the world ends.
Well, that was like Google Images, like back in the day when you wanted to see what stuff looked like. You had to get like the Grand Canyon reel.
Right.
Or the, Greenfield USA. I can't remember what the hell it was.
It was the beginning of the Giphy. I don't know if you, of course you remember, you donated a huge sum of money when I tortured you for this disease. If my sister hadn't died.
I never paid that. I never got a bill.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you repaid more and more by doing so much charity work for
us. I just kept bidding and then I won it. And then I was waiting for the bill. I don't know what happened.
What you were buying was to what? Make yourself a Giphy or make me a Giphy? What were you doing?
Bob, I was trying to make you smile. You know, and if I can do that once every 6 years, then I just feel like I have, you know, I'm complete as a person.
You know what I like about this? It looks like you're in hospice. That's what's great about this. Particular, they'll see this.
Well, what's going on is I was going to do it in another room, but my wife needed the room, so I got kicked out. So here's the deal.
Well, what's she doing in there?
Are you going to be in here? If you're going to be in here, how long are you going to be in here? They just start talking, then you're like, all right, I'll go in the other, room.
This is the thing.
It didn't even get to what she was doing. I just know. The second, are you going to be in here? Is that going to be a problem? No, it's fine. It's just, it means it's not going to be fine. So just, you go in there, you know, I'll go in the other room.
How does Nia feel when she hears you do this voice interpretation of her?
Oh, she's funnier than I am. She just trashes me. She doesn't care. My wife looks at me like I am a personal assistant with an ego problem. So no, my wife is awesome. And, maybe I'm the problem. That's what I've realized. I've gotten to this age where, you know, I've done enough pointing my finger at other people, which is why, Bob, I'm going to be nice to you.
I want you to just be, you don't have to be nice to me. First thing, it's not your finger you're pointing. And the second thing is, I messed up with my wife last night. And my wife's very strong, but your wife could probably teach my wife a lesson in just tell him to shut the fuck up or just whatever. Because I am renegade sometimes because I have comedians. That's the excuse. I'm a comedian, right? It's just I'm a douche sometimes. And I am the problem sometimes. So... You admit it. That's
yeah, but you know something. They know what they're marrying. All right. How many?
I don't think mine knew.
Listen, there's not a father or a mother in the world as excited when their daughter comes home and says, "I'm dating a comedian." That is as far removed as I'm dating a doctor,
right?
As you can find. They don't think she's going to be taken care of. They think you're going to be a jerk and all that stuff. And you know what? They're right. A lot of levels, they're right.
to some degree, but on the other degree, we're more, I'm bendable. I admit when I'm wrong. The problem is I get very sad about how wrong I am. Do you get bummed?
Oh, you asshole. So even when you're wrong, she still has to cheer you up.
No, Bob. She doesn't cheer me
up. Hey, when you go on vacation, do you just fucking buy whatever you see standing around? Like, on, you know, you do a lot of fucking right near the cash register shopping.
No, I go to places. I've
seen a grander collection of shit in my life that's behind you. Right. Those bobbleheads?
Yeah, that's from a Dodger game that I kept walking into, the same one. But the truth of it is, when we go on vacation, I just want to be alone with her, and I don't go. She can go to the gift shop. That's, you know, we go to a nice place. I don't go to like the mall. You stay at the mall when you go on vacation?
We don't take vacations.
I'm gonna need one.
What we do is my wife vacations where I'm working.
Right.
That's how it does.
My wife's doing that with me soon in Denver. She's going to do it and a couple other places.
I'm trying to get my wife. She always, you know, comes out to support me on the road when I'm going to Miami.
Right.
Or, you know, when I go to the Quad Cities, she'll you'll be good. You got this. You're a strong person.
So if you're doing, like, if you're doing three shows in the general same area, maybe you're based at the same nice, real nice
hotel. She
wants
to go to Seattle.
Yeah, it's fun there. And then,
yeah, Seattle's a fun one. And then there's Portland, which is Seattle without the beauty.
Right.
With some
issues that all states are recovering from in cities, depending on what level of either woke or don't ever change us from the 50s. It's really...
Oh, yeah. No, Oregon's a shit show.
Yeah,
either get a flat earther or some social justice warrior. Yeah, I wish that state would have a fight to the death with each other.
Well, that's where we are. We are at UFC level. That's what politics are. It's just, I know you talk about this.
Not on social media. We're not at that level. Like, right. I think a lot of these stupid dust ups. It's literally 1,000 people thinking that the rest of the world cares that they're screaming about it. And nobody's, you know, you're watching because somebody's going to get in trouble, I guess. But, you know, if you don't watch the news, you stay off social media. Look outside today, Bob. It's a beautiful day. Take off those giant glasses. Just go out there and
breathe in that smog. These are just my small glasses. I'm blind.
You're not blind. What are you talking about, Buff?
I can't see good when I.
You can see a shit joke from a mile away.
I get that. I can see. I can write a shit joke in Braille. So now you're laying down. You have pants on. You're not doing anything weird, right?
No.
I never think of you sexually, which is the first dude I can say that about.
Well, then I guess I'm kind of insulted.
Oh, sorry.
Why can't you look at me that way, Bob?
No, you turn me on. I'm kidding.
Oh, you got a thing for gingers.
I do.
And you're fighting it. That's what it is.
I want to go to Dublin with you. Do you like going there?
I like wherever I'm at once I get there.
You don't like the traveling.
My thing is getting through security and getting on the fucking plane. Once I get on the plane, I'm fine.
Right.
It's the whole, you know, I don't know. You can see how capitalism works the way they board a plane.
Yes.
The way they dangle all of these things and, you know, you're in this group and, oh, you have status and you're a little better than these other people. And then the lie that, oh, you're in group one. Oh, group one. I'm going to board first. No, group one in name only.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you are group one because all these other groups we're not calling groups. And they all can get on the fucking plane. Well, and we're going to act like we give a shit about all of these other people when we don't. We're just trying to create anxiety with the other people that don't get on the fucking plane. So then they jump through the hoops they want to, line our pockets so we can get some more yachts and some coked up whores on them, you know? And I sell my soul just so I can get on a little sooner than a wounded warrior mother with jaundice.
Right. And jaundice shows up unless you have the purple lighted plane, which doesn't exist anymore because they canceled the Virgin flights, which was all about purple lights, which hid jaundice. That was the reason for the purple lights.
Virgin Airlines was a great airline, but it was the most cheesiest, that aquarium lighting in there. Like we were all going to get, everyone's going to get laid. It's like, we're not. We're going to be sitting in these same uncomfortable chairs.
Pulse music as you're getting on. When they board the handicap first, it's unz, 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 unz. And you know they're like in their chair really excited.
Was that the one that had the fucking 20-minute music video?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that alone, dude, that alone.
And it was a chauvinistic, if I can say that word anymore, unless that gets canceled. It was a chauvinistic pre-video.
Don't take our word and weaponize it back against at us.
What the fuck has happened? Since the last time I talked to you on here, the entire world has fucking shifted into a battle of words where everyone said words matter. And now people are saying they're just words. Other people are saying they're just words. They don't matter. Can you stop it with the words? There's nothing any fucking person can agree on, except that I have rectal dysmorphia, according to what you did for my benefit.
Well, I'm sorry to be the one that brought that out to the public, but I just crushed me watching you carry that secret all these years.
I had a producer spit out her water when you said it. your bit. What the fuck is it to be a comedian?
Oh, how did that do? Did that get a laugh at the benefit?
You got huge laughs. Rectal dysmorphia, and then you came back, and I did the timing wrong, but I put on a blue jacket because you said Bob's wearing a blue blazer to cover his man boobs, man tits, or whatever. And I put it on, but I should have worn it for the outro of your video as well. So I was stupid, but I did. Do it, but you had what you said after was even funnier. About, I mean, you're just you're very good on the fly, and you're not bad on the inseam.
All right, Bob. Listen, this has been a fun podcast.
Well, thanks, Bill. You've got a lot coming up. You've got this thing, this great thing. It's a moral compass. I'm really excited about it.
Did you watch it?
No, I've been.
Bobby.
No, I tried, but I couldn't. But I'm not lying to you and telling you I did. But it's fucking impressive. And I know that you originally had it done for another company, and then Roku Channel bought it. And
we had it done for Quibi. Tyler Falbo.
It's the guy, right? He did. But you wrote it, man.
You didn't
this
even look.
This is a bad press release. It says Bill Burr wrote, directed, and starred in and executive produced the short form series. This is your fucking dumbass publicist that said this, who I love.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, right. There it is, right there.
Huh? Oh yeah, Jesus, that's so legible.
Do you have to make a joke about? Do you have to make a joke about everything, Bill? I mean, really? I mean, I'm trying to help you with this show.
Can I promote the goddamn show?
It premieres Friday, November 5th, in the year of our Lord 2021.
Did anybody tell you you look like an old Guy Smiley?
I don't know who Guy Smiley is.
You know? Oh, you're too old for Sesame Street. Jesus Christ! And most people listening.
Which one was Guy Smiley?
He was the game show host.
I'll take that.
He was a good-looking Muppet for Muppets.
Yeah, he was soft and likable.
He had a nice jaw.
Tyler
Falbo. Tyler Falbo wrote, created, and directed these short, like, dark comedy-like films.
Right.
It's the only way to describe it. It's called A Moral Compass. We have some amazing, amazing actors in there. If you've never seen Vince Vaughn and Bobby Lee on screen at the same time, this is the buddy cop movie. Like that, like they're so incredible. Al Madrigal crushed it. Nick Swartzen. There's just so many guys that we got in that said yes, that did so great. And we sold it to Quibi. And I was so excited for Tyler. I'm like, this guy is going to blow up. I can't wait to see what he's going to do. And then, you know, the pandemic came and, you know, took out Quibi. They just, you know, and
was
I was it, like,
was Quibi the first thing that COVID went for?
I think so, but I don't want to be on the wrong side of history.
Right.
I'm probably, you know, being a toxic cis white male right now by suggesting that that was the first one, because Quibi was run by white males.
We're going to have to cut that out. That's so upsetting to hear.
Bob, nobody's talking about it. Nobody gives a fuck.
I know. I was joking.
All of that shit nothing happened.
I'm agreeing with you.
All of that screaming and yelling about the latest big dust up, nothing happened. In the end, nothing happened.
It says it right here.
Okay.
Bill, this thing also has somebody that I've worked with twice who I love, Marilyn Rice Cub, who's awesome.
She's one of the funniest people ever.
She is also one of the
nicest. And she also has a book coming out.
Yeah, she's strong. I had her on as a guest, but now I'm not.
Did she do better than me?
Nobody laying down is better than you. But this is the second, you're my second guest on All Things Comedy, which apparently means you're not my boss, are you?
No, it's a co-op.
It's a co-op. So it's like we share a condo during the
summer? No, it means that we have to approve your guests if you're going to have somebody on your podcast.
It's weird. They said, you're not getting Bill, are you? I mean, what kind of company is this?
We're honest. You know, we're transparent.
I like
people
that.
Really don't like me over there.
That's not true. Most people do like you until they don't know you. You were talking about airplanes before, and that bit that you were leading toward that you didn't do because you're smart. You don't like to repeat yourself on every single thing you do. But when you talk about how you used to sit at the back of the plane, the only thing between you and the shitter, or I don't know what word you use, is a piece of plywood. I've never heard the word plywood used better in my life, because that's what it was. It was particle board.
Oh, yeah. That was the DC-9, and you'd open your window and the engine would be there so you couldn't look out. And then on the other side would be, there was literally somebody taking a shit on like this style. It's like car, yeah, it was like plywood. It was like this thick. You could hear them undo their belt. That was the joke. And you were just sitting there like, and it motivated you. I need to sell more tickets. So if I can just get to the emergency exit row, which is the poor man's first class. Like, nobody is living a better life than somebody gets the emergency exit row.
Right.
You're crushing it. You paid for a coach seat. You got that extra. I shouldn't say this because those fucking assholes will make up. I bet it's more money already.
There's extra leg room, maybe, but you can't lay back. It doesn't recline because you got to save people. And that's who you want to save you, the guy at the back.
I was just thinking of like they should start doing like all like different airlines for different body types.
That's
smart. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So everybody can feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Right. You could get like, you know, 700 skinny people that are trying to live forever.
That's on four seats. Plane. Four seats on each side.
Four seats on each side, you know. No food. Right. And then the other ones, you get those giant, those cargo planes. And you just forklift them on.
And you just drop them off. You just open the pod.
No, you fly them to and from, you know, like those cities that win like the fattest city in America. Like those are their hubs.
What city would that be? That'd be the state fair. Eat all the you know hot what? Dogs.
Houston, Texas won it 2 years in a row, and every time I go there, I bring it up, saying how like it's so hard to win that 2 years in a row because it really is. Like, how do you know who is the fattest city? So what they have to do is they got to, like, you know, make a city feel bad and then other people can laugh like, your city. I don't think they can do it anymore. It's probably like body shaming. But I do remember Houston, Texas went back to back because they do everything big down there, Bobby.
I don't think Houston's going to recoil on that. I think they would stick by it. Texas is not up to being told what to believe. Are you
the
really
joke
in
I did on stage
you're drinking
was,
water like you're in a hospital bed, Bill.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. How am I supposed to drink? Am I supposed to chug it down like Mean Joe Green in that Coca-Cola commercial that you auditioned for and didn't get?
God, your mind's a labyrinth. It's so interesting. I'll just keep talking about this for one more second because I just adore you in a non-physical. You did exec produce this with an old friend of mine, John Irwin, and
yes.
Madrigal, who is incredibly talented.
Madrigal.
Is that what I said?
You said Madrigal.
And how do you say it?
Madrigal.
So it's the same.
No, you put a J in there. Madrigal.
Oh, no, that was a slur. That was just dumb. It's Madrigal.
I think you need to apologize to him for that slur.
So bad. I want to apologize to a lot of people, especially all the people that you fat shamed that you're putting in a cargo plane and just dropping them in Houston.
Hey, you ever think that maybe it's negative motivation? Do you know how many fatties have written into me and said they lost a ton of weight because I made them laugh at themselves?
Maybe
not all bad.
By the way, laughing burns calories. It actually does. The flab
it does.
Moves. I
said plus, I'm a bald orange man. I mean, you know,
look,
I love. I
making
love.
Fun of yourself, disarming, you know, it's a trick. We all know it. Saying, I'm going to make fun of myself,
hey, Bob,
my penis. You don't talk about your dick very much, by the way.
Bob, do you use Jest for Almost Men?
I am a man. I am a man. When you are done playing some basketball or doing one of your crazy athletic things that you love, do you not shower with the other guys purposely?
I haven't done anything athletic in years other than try to avoid you at a comedy club.
Yeah, because that means we see each other once every 5 years.
No, I grew up in that generation, like in gym class. It's just like, oh, I remember the girls' locker room had like individual showers, and ours just had like, there was like three giant ones.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you know, like eight people to them. We just, yeah, they just threw you in there like animals. They just always treated us like animals. So, but I will say though, you know, like when I go to like take the steam or whatever, like, I'm not the guy walking around with his dick out. And when the guy has his dick out to me, it is fucking like, you know, it's like a mad, 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 mad world. It's just the funniest shit ever to me.
It is.
And I find like older people and Asians. Asians are like their culture.
Did you say, you're saying Asians are more apt to be nude in the.
It's been my experience that like they're. Well, didn't we steal the spa from them?
I don't know if we stole it. I mean,
we stole the spa. We stole yoga. We stole martial arts.
I believe Joe Rogan started most of it.
We
and the ice bucket challenge, except you sit in it, not dump it. I don't know. Look, you said Asian.
You know what I love about those ice baths? Is like if you actually go fuck, that's cold. That as a man, that means you're a pussy. It's like, why can't I get into ice cold water and state the obvious that this is uncomfortable?
Agreed.
And your manhood is judged by how little you cry out, like, and also just the level of what it takes to be a man now. Like, if you get into an ice bath without crying out, you're somehow now William Wallace getting his innards pulled out while yelling freedom. It's like you're getting in that to bring down the inflammation from your fucking workout.
I've always loved it. I have always loved, especially on vacation, if I go away and I get in a steam or in a sauna, to then just walk in there step by step. I don't jump in because it's not really where to jump. But I like to get in quietly. It's quiet. I don't even grip my teeth. I just do it. It's not a big deal, really. I don't think.
You slip in like a predator, like a crocodile.
Everything I do is like a predator. In fact, when you were talking about those showers in school that were that are wider and the girls had separate showers, the great thing about today that all the boys in high school have all more room, just three giant like little studios as you were. It gives more room for cameras. So you can get like six cameras in there, you know, to videotape the whole thing. You know what I mean? when you do that, when you're right. producing one of your films, you know, for Immoral Compass, which is mostly full of, it's mostly high school kids being videotaped without their knowledge.
You know, Bob, there is a time and a place for your predatory humor.
I don't have my predatory humor is unfortunately something that got me in trouble years ago because I was basically saying it because it was so upsetting to me that predators exist. And I was making fun of them.
Why would you revisit that? You're going to edit all of this out.
No, I'm not.
Hey,
you want me to?
Can we talk about your credenza?
It's not really a credenza.
It's a chest of drawers.
I don't know. Maybe it is a credenza. It's a bookcase that's kind of modern that I had built to use behind my desk, which is designed to match it. It's kind of nice.
Oh, yeah. What third world country did they take the wood from? Pry it from those crying children's fingers. So big celebrity Bob Saget could have a place to put his L.A. Dodger bobbleheads.
This was made in America, this thing.
Oh.
In Van Nuys.
Those slaves at IKEA?
No, this is not particle board like the thing in the bathroom. So this podcast that comes out Monday, your Monday morning podcast, you've had the same picture for 25 years, I think. 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
And it's smart. Yep. I just changed my branding. I turned my
I want to change it. Every time I see it, I go, I got to change that thing. People are like, yeah, we just never do it.
I don't know if it makes sense to do it because it's kind of a classic thing and you're kind of one of the number one podcasts that exists. So why change something that, why change?
Because I think it's not about the photo. I think it's about the content. That's what I think.
Bob. That's correct. That's why you don't have a shaved head in it, which you could do optically anyway. You could just simply airbrush your hair out with a younger picture of you.
Oh, there's a... That's an idea.
Now,
I think that picture on my podcast was the last day I was even remotely attractive. And then once I shaved the head, it was just like, whew. Bill, you started hanging around me.
Be honest with me. Well, when I hung around you, you became much more grotesque. But I believe that you are a good looking.
I believe I can fly.
That guy, that is a guy that it deserves to be where he is right now, from my knowledge.
Top of the charts, baby.
Yep.
All of his albums going.
And I get in trouble. I get in trouble for going, I believe that you're five. I get in trouble for that.
Well, I haven't heard about it.
But he's a predator. Apparently.
Well, I hope so. He went to jail for it. I hope he did it.
You're on tour right now. I think you're like out right when this thing comes out, which is Monday. You're really hitting hard, which I'm excited to see your new stuff because you're one of my favorite comedians that I'm talking to right now.
Almost a compliment.
No, you are one of my favorite comedians. I think you're one of the funniest people alive because you take risks and you actually have a reason for them, and I find that structurally impressive.
Okay. Sound like you're talking about a building.
Yeah, but I was complimenting you.
I thought you were describing your house. Structurally impressive.
Well, apparently it's not because I have a credenza in my office, which is usually in a dining room, I think.
I thought a credenza was always in a man's office. You know,
I never heard that. I never heard a designer say that. I don't think anyone's ever thought that.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what a credenza is other than it's a long piece of furniture with drawers.
Yeah, I think you're right. And this is not, it has a couple drawers. They're kind of
Is it Italian or is that a Latin word? Credenza.
I believe it would be Italian, I think. But it's the root.
And why is it a credenza?
I think so, yeah. And I think it means a place where you keep human body parts.
Did Chrysler have a line of cars called the Credenza?
This is what I want to cut out. I'm going to leave in all the pedophile references, but the elaboration on the credenza.
Chrysler credenza.
Let me ask you something real. When you first found out about credenzas, how old were you?
I was in my 20s. A friend of mine was moving up in sales, and he had a credenza. I remember he didn't want to get it. And the woman he was dating talked him into buying all of this furniture that he didn't want to buy.
Was he Italian?
And I asked him where he got it. He screamed out the slogan of the furniture store.
Which was?
I go, where'd you get this? He goes, I loved it at Levitt's. And I fell out of the fucking chair that he didn't want to own, just dying laughing. He was so fucking, he was just young. You know, when you're young as a man, you're just so amazed that some woman wants to date you that you have the tendency to just do whatever the fuck they say so they'll stay with you. And that's what he was doing. And he had this whole fuck, and he had a credenza. And that was the first, and this relationship was going south. He knew it was over. And he was just walking around the room, like talking about his furniture in anger. And I was, you know, one of the great pieces of comedy I ever saw. He said, I go, where did I set down my water? He goes, over there on the credenza. And he was just doing, where'd you get this? I loved it at Levitt's.
Levitt's was an Eastern Seaboard company, correct?
Yeah, Levitt's was, I can't even remember the slogan because he yelled it. I was something about you're gonna love it.
Love it at Levitt. We love it. Love it at Levitt's, I think.
Yeah. Love it at Levitt's. And then we had the Light and Leisure, the purple building. It was the guy just sold lamps. And they all were ripping off Crazy Eddie.
Right.
Going like, I'm out of my mind. Why did I get all of these fucking lamps?
In Philadelphia, all we had was Big Marty really does sell carpet cheaper. From one of the biggest showrooms, and why would I know? Why would I know this?
I miss all of that shit.
Yeah, we don't have that. That's become local AM radio ads, pretty much, or 1-800-CARS-FOR-KIDS, which is I shouldn't have said because people yell at you when you just mention it.
Why? Because they're so sick of hearing that song.
And it's upsetting to see those kids all dressed up and everything. I think they're the problem.
Wait, Cars for Kids. I never even thought about it. It was just such a catchy jingle. 1-800.
Don't do it. Kids. I'm telling you, people are going to be writing all over comments. They hate.
Why can't these kids? Why can't these kids have cars?
That's the better song. That's better.
Wait, what do they do with those cars? Are they toy cars?
You know, I don't even know what it is. I think it's something that helps kids. I'm not sure, and I'm not looking it up. But I don't think we want to know about it because the song is horrific. To me, it's like a Chucky movie when I hear that song.
I like that song, and it reminds me of some of your original music.
Now, you're a drummer. Do you write music? Have you sung? I never heard you sing. I know you can sing.
I just sang 1-800-CARS-FOR-KIDS.
No, I'm serious.
Jerking off is what Saget did. Sorry, I'm just riffing here.
No, you're a lyricist for sure. You're definitely a lyricist. But we should get together and jam things into your
Now
ass.
There is the album nobody is waiting for.
I don't know. Any people are buying everything you do. You're doing arenas in 2022. Did you hear about that?
Did you just compare my work as a comedian to the two of us fucking jamming in your garage? Is your garage finished? You got like a man cave in there?
No, it's just a garage. It's
got you can go in there and be alone and cry.
No, I don't.
What room do you like, Bob? When you cry, what room do you go to in your house?
It doesn't really matter. I pretty much weep all day long.
Is that why you have carpet to absorb your tears?
Exactly. I do.
Wouldn't
not
want
cry.
The wife to slip on your tears.
I don't cry on hardwood or on tile.
Does your wife come home and catch you? Bob, have you been crying in the hardwood area again?
To be honest with you, after the way I was last night, upset about something, crying would have been a good thing for me to do. Do you ever cry? Do you ever cry with your wife when you are possibly saying something mean? Do you ever cry?
I'm not Italian. Italians can do that
over their credenza.
Because I love you. They can. I can't. I'm Irish. Like the tears. It's you know, someone has to die for me to cry.
What, at your hands?
Huh? At my hands? No. What did I do?
Have you, right. Why did I kill him? He was my brother.
No, if somebody hurts animals, children, or a friend of mine dies, I will cry.
Do you get upset when you watch the news in an emotional way, or is it pretty much like a lot of us, which is anger, and then we just give up and don't watch it?
I don't know. I get depressed, and then there's just shit that people do to other people. Like,
yeah.
You know, like the sex trafficking, kidnapping, taking somebody's kid and put them into that world, that there's people that actually do that.
Yeah.
And there's barely any press on that. But, you know, if you tell the wrong joke in a fucking strip mall, it becomes a 3-day media storm. It's just the priorities of that type of stuff is which just becomes overwhelmingly fucking depressing. And it makes me actually, you know, that's why I don't believe in a God that cares. You know, it doesn't make sense. And he doesn't take any responsibility that he also put those monsters on this planet. And then there's also like, you know, and then he blames you for how you navigate these fucking horrible people that are down. It doesn't make any fucking sense whatsoever.
No, it doesn't. But you're making God a he, but you're using it as the
Well, the
metaphor.
Joke in my act is because God doesn't take responsibility for his actions, I now believe she's a woman.
So that's that's helpful. That helps the conversation.
It's a joke.
Oh, you're why are you yelling at me? I'm trying to dog paddle.
Because I loved it in Levitts.
I'm apologizing for things I've thought I've said from 30 years ago.
Dude, you're in your head right now. Get off social media. No one cares, Bob. They want you to go out there and say the craziest fucking shit you can possibly say.
And I have been.
Everybody wants to pick a side of the fence, Bob.
I am. I'm picking both sides. I'm fucking having fun.
If I even think about something when I'm eating my fucking cereal, I apologize for. Bob, just get out there and say what you want. I am. That's exactly what I'm doing. You people-pleasing, four-eyed cunt.
No, wait a minute. I'm saying you're not understanding. I have
That's a great chair. That yeah, really
it's
leans.
It's a dentist chair, and
I was
going to
say that's
it,
what it looks like.
Yeah, I use it for anal entry for when you come over. But the question you haven't seen this chair. The question is,
I never saw you. I didn't know you could lean. You can do like a back bend in that fucking chair.
Yeah, I could. I do my abs. The question I have is, in fact, if you were standing in front of me, this is a reason to see this on YouTube. If you were just in front of me, it would be the best. If you were endowed at all, if you didn't have just like a little ginger bush, if you didn't have like
don't try to make fun of me and my manhood because of your own fucking desires that God does not approve of.
I am simply
God's
saying
God's homophobic too, right? Is that also I'm supposed to believe that? He makes serial killers and doesn't like gay people? Is this like what I'm supposed to be praying to, Bob?
Correct. I agree with you. I agree with you, and I'm sorry that you used to talk the way you talked.
I don't know.
Did you go to church?
Yeah.
And were you a
choir
boy?
I was like
boy?
Cal Ripken Jr. I had a fucking streak. I don't think I missed a mass in like fucking 20-something years.
Were you a choir boy?
No, I was an altar boy.
Oh.
And no, I did not get molested.
Oh, come on. Tell me the truth. This is a podcast.
I didn't.
Bill, I need a soundbite for my asset for the podcast, please.
Listen, it just never happened, you know? I did all the right things to make it happen, and it didn't happen. And then right when I least expected it, it happened.
Thank you. That's what I wanted. Print that.
We'll Not at the church.
At the parking lot?
Right outside of Levitt's.
You love it at Levitt's.
Whether I wanted to or not, you're going to love it at Levitt's.
So you said something that I really loved on Seth Meyers, which was, you just don't care anymore. You know, you were just like, if you were getting into the whole vaccine of it all and just, you know, all of it, all the shit that we've been told is malarkey, all the crap that we've been told is, you've just kind of given up because emotionally it's ripping all of our guts out to deal with it all day long. So you still stand by that? That was like a month ago.
Well, yeah. Why are you going to stand there and argue with somebody that doesn't share your opinion? And then it's just like, well, I'm not going to change your opinion. This right. is a waste of time. So, you know, fuck it. I'm not going to waste my time caring if you don't care. That's it. All right. We're not being graded on a curve here. We are as smart as the dumbest people out there. The dumbest people out there are going to listen to what, you know, if you're dumb, you listen to what you want to hear. Is basically it. I think, you know, but I'm not saying that people on the other side don't do the same thing, you know, so I don't know. Listen, who the fuck knows? Nobody knows the long-term effects of the vaccine. Nobody knows the long-term effects of what COVID is. All right. I'm going to dance with what brung me, which is I'm going with the doctors. Because if I didn't go with the doctors, I would have died of a ruptured appendix in fucking the 80s. So they have kept me alive so far. I'm sticking with them. However, if you don't want to do that, you know, it's like being in LA. You know, you choose between the Clippers or the Lakers.
Well, that's not
two
a
teams
hard.
For you.
That's not
it was probably a bad example. You're in New York. You choose between the Knicks or the Nets.
Well, that's not a good example either.
All right, you know, you're in
Boston.
You're in
Boston.
We only have one team.
Exactly.
That's all we need. We don't need to double down in all of them. We fucking win all the titles.
Because you love it at Levitt's.
Because I loved it at Levitt's.
Levitt's. What? So, have people got? Everybody's saying people have gotten dumber. I just think that they've always been this level of IQ. I just think there's just more access to hearing everybody.
No, the internet is a, you get these think tanks of stupid people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure there's think tanks of smart people, but I'm not in those.
It's odd that they call them a think tank. You know, it's a thoughtless tank or it's a uninformed tank.
Yeah, but there's always been like that type of shit. It's just, you know, before you didn't have to listen to it. So now you have to listen to it. And it's just like, you know, dumb people. What is going on?
Hey, Bill, what happened to your thing there?
Wait a minute. Remind me.
You turned off your camera? I hear you.
No. I just got a phone call.
You have to take it? Is it important? Could it be about,
no,
could it be about the premiere that happened November 5th of your fabulous Immoral Compass?
You got to see it, man. Tyler Falbo is a fucking genius. And you like, dude, this is one of the best things I've been a part of.
Thanks for asking me to be part of it, by the way. I see like 25 actors and actresses. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. I got to be honest, Bob, your name never came up.
Oh, well, that's cool then. I'm cool with that.
Never even thought about you.
Right. Well, that's kind of what I like about it, because we don't have a showbiz relationship. We actually have I guess I'd call it a friendship. I don't know how you view it.
I would say divorced gay couple energy is what we have.
So we still talk.
You can see there's a love there, but there's too much water under the bridge.
Right.
You know?
If we'd adopted kids or twins, I think we would have talked a lot more over the years.
Well, that was a mistake. Okay. And, you know, I should have said yes, but I just didn't feel you were going to make a good father. I'm but sorry.
That, you know that's not true, correct?
No.
Leading the witness.
Let's do The Odd Couple. We'll play against type.
I'll you want to go on? You want to do Broadway? I would totally do that.
I saw you on Broadway. You were great.
Ah, Bill. I love that play. That was Hand to God, wasn't it?
I don't remember the name of it. It was
the one with the puppet that went had the devil in him, and I played a priest. I played a Lutheran minister.
Yeah, and you came out on stage, and everybody went nuts.
Because they didn't at first. They didn't know it was me because I had a collar on, and I didn't have the jokes. I was there to service this great play with these great actors.
Bob, you didn't service the play. You were there for yourself. Okay.
I serviced myself.
I remember afterwards, we went out to that. We went out for a steak dinner.
Yep.
Yep. And you just talked on and on and on about how amazing you were. No, you didn't. You were very humble.
That's impossible. That's impossible because I would go, all I would do after a performance is I know how to fix it. I can't wait to get back tomorrow. What the fuck did I do tonight? I'm sorry you saw that one.
How many did you do?
I did like 75 or 80 of them. There was an actor named Mark Kudish that had to go do something else. So I was lucky enough to get in there and be with these other five amazing actors. The play.
How many shows a week?
It was 8 or 9.
So it's Tuesday through Sunday, your dark Monday, right?
Yeah. Once in a while Woo. We did Mondays. And then once in a while we would do a show for charity. Or, you know, you would do a show for, I did a off-Broadway play called Privilege, and we did a show for the hearing impaired. And
Was that play about your career?
Privilege? No. It was about a guy who's kind of an Ivan Boesky character that I played, and he lies and his money gets frozen and his life is ruined.
Who's Ivan Boesky?
He was a guy that did a lot of insider trading back in the day.
And maybe killed his wife?
No murder, but it was kind of a Bernie Madoff kind of guy. So what was interesting about it is they had an all-deaf audience, which was lovely. And so it was an extra show that week, but they took the script and transcribed it into the teleprompter, you know, the closed caption reading. They didn't have a signer, but they had it all written below. But I wasn't off book. I changed some of the dialogue. So they were laughing at me. I thought they were laughing because the jokes were good, but they were laughing because what I was saying didn't match what was written.
Oh, basically. Wow.
Yeah, it was interesting. I thought I had the best show, and then I found out they're laughing in all the different wrong places. What's going on? And then one of the cast members told me, and it was a bit embarrassing. But it was a great play. Paul Weitz wrote it.
Oh, yeah. So did you, out of insecurity, did you throw your five working senses in their faces?
No, I actually walked out to see them all, and I gave them some money and then touched them around parts of their body.
I mean, you are in New York City.
Yeah. And if
it's nice to know that part of New York City hasn't died yet.
No, you can still touch strangers. And if you have lost your hearing or your sight, to touch them is to actually help them. It's not sexual.
It lies. Well, I mean, because their other senses are turned up more.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything else. That's why.
So the horror of what you were doing was way more vivid. So you gave him a second show. You're such a giver, Bob.
I think. And you said the horror or the whore, because you have that accent.
I said the whore.
Oh, the horror of what I was doing.
The horror.
Oh, the horror.
The horror. The horror.
You could play a musical version of Apocalypse Now and be Kurtz. You could play Marlon Brando's part because you got, you're already, your hair is ready. You think about, you put your hands in your head. You think about, you rub your face like that.
It's because I don't like looking at you for too long. You know.
Well, we're going to watch this because I know how things go. We're going to take just one break now that I'm at All Things Comedy. It's just one break, and it's probably therapy of shaving your balls, a product that does both. It's a ball-shaving therapy.
Extravaganza.
It is. It's everything. Mm-hmm. And a company that you founded. And here's the break. All right, the break's over. Ed, how much water do you drink a day?
Probably not enough. Does the criticism ever end with you?
I think this is the first time I've talked to you where I'm trying to like jump ahead of you ripping me apart. I don't know why, but you seem incapacitated, so I don't know why I'm taking shots.
What do you have around your neck?
The headphones, because I don't like to wear the... Yeah, I want to be able to hear you without the feedback. Oh. I usually wear a feed bag around my neck. So, Bill, you shot a special. Did you talk about it, or you don't want to talk about it?
I shot myself doing stand-up. We'll see if it turns into a special or not.
I'm sorry to keep you up. Are you tired a lot?
I got a lot of shit going on, and I don't want to do it anymore.
That's not true, because you love it. This is the final season of F is for Family. And that's kind of cool. That's really exciting. 5 seasons is not a small thing on Netflix. And
yeah, well, that's because of the great Mike Price at from The Simpsons, you know, the co-creator and the captain of the ship over there. So we had a great run, and I'm really proud. I think this is our best season coming out. So we're ending on a high note, and we didn't overstay our welcome. So, yeah, that's like a very melancholy thing when something like that ends.
Yeah.
You know, you've had a lot of things end in your career, so I know you can relate.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah, it's been very painful, almost wanting me not to live. but with you, you conceived this show, correct?
I had the idea for like vignettes and stuff, and then Peter Billingsley, Vince Vaughn, everybody at Wild West brought on Mike Price, and then we fleshed it out from there. So sorry I'm yawning, dude. I just, you know, my kids get me up, I stay up late, and then they get me up early. It's not because I find you excruciatingly boring. It's just I'm, you know.
No apologies are needed.
You know what? No, you know what? You know what? I had one of those things where it was just nobody was paying attention to something. And then they were like, you know what? We do like that thing. Can you rewrite the whole fucking thing and have it done in 5 days? It was one of those deals where you're just sitting there going like, why did I ever get into this business?
You did have that happen, right? You had to do the whole rewrite, you're saying?
Yep. And chop off like, you know, a third of it.
Right.
But too long. It's going to cost too much money.
For people that can now go and watch all 4 years of it and then what 4 seasons and then watch the 5th, would you tell the people that are however they're looking at this or hearing it or telestrating it, the cast? Because you have like literally from the beginning, one of the best casts on an animated thing.
Yeah, we have. Justin Long, Laura Dern, Sam Rockwell, David Koechner, Debbie Derryberry, Haley Reinhardt. You know what sucks is it's been so long since because of this pandemic. I so miss those table reads. And
right.
You know, I used to just love watching the actors cracking up at some of the lines that, you know, the late great David Richardson and Mark Wilmore was always, you know, we had 2 guys die during this whole pandemic, man. It sucks. So yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Stinks. It stinks. So, but we had a great run. We did have a great run and I'm proud of this show. So,
it's a great show. When you first told me about it, I watched it and it's a really great show. Congrats on a 5-year run.
Thank you.
Now you
never said congratulations when it got picked up. So I think it's sort of some schadenfreude from you that you're excited that it's over.
No, I'm just congratulating
you. Am I picking that up?
No, you're right. No, you're right. I'm just congratulating you that it's ending, not that it began. I don't celebrate when someone sells something and finally gets to do their dream. So now you're going to, now the tour that you have, is it going to be stuff that you've been working on for since you shot your last thing? Is it 2 hours of stuff you're rolling around?
I don't know what it is. I just go out and, you know, I don't know, Bob. I need a vacation. That's what I realized. I got to fucking shut my brain off.
I really do. I agree.
I do. So I got to learn how to do that because I don't know how to do that because I'm German-Irish. And it's just once you go, once you go, once you go, and then you can't go no more. That's it. You die.
That accent makes me feel real good about my ancestors.
Oh, yeah? Your ancestors German?
No, they kind of were in a different place at that time. They were kind of running to try to stay alive.
The Kenyan?
No.
You from marathon runners?
No, I meant just running because
my close.
World War II was a difficult time for them.
Oh, in the South Pacific? I heard that was horrible.
No, that was Korea. That was the war.
It was a conflict.
Did you take
your ancestors were in politics?
Have you revised history before everything had to change? By the way, is history changing? Are these school books actually changing like people are claiming that it's being rewritten? Is that really
Bob, you got to stop watching the news. You have not brought up one good thing that's going on in the world.
You're right.
You have not said one. I mean, to sit there.
But Bill, you.
An elder statesman like yourself in front of your credenza that you got at Levitt's. At John Lovitz's. I want to know why I'm worried about the junkies fascinate me. They just keep filling your head up with all of the awful shit that's going on out there.
Right, right. And I try to distract from it by watching shows where you're trying to find out who hacked up who. That's what calms you down is people murdering people. Squid Game. Did you watch that thing?
No.
Right. So you're trying to let in positive stuff. So in your stand-up, you can let out all of
I watch data. Sports and I watch old TV and old movies.
You're smart.
Back to a simpler time, Bob, before civil rights.
See, this is the problem because you, yeah.
See, it's basically I'm going back as a white person, going back to a simpler time when, you know, so many other people who don't look like me had it way worse. But in my head, it's a simpler time because they don't touch on those issues. I was talking to somebody how, like, you know, all the racism, homophobia, sexism and all that shit, you know, that's been talked about in Hollywood. There's all of these other stereotypes that are in that. There's other things in there that they just do not talk about. Like, I was watching this old episode of The Untouchables with Robert Stack. Right. And there was a prejudice. If you were really tall, if you were like a giant, they thought you were a moron. And I don't know if it was the Of Mice and Men.
It is. It's Lenny.
Everybody was Lenny. So I was watching this Untouchables, and there was this big guy, and they're always like sweethearts, sort of childlike, is how they write these giants. And he was the strong man for this mafia don. And the guy gets shot. And throughout the episode, he's slowly dying. And like the big childlike guy can't handle it. And when the guy finally dies, this giant of a man is walking around this warehouse, basically beating up a warehouse. He's almost superhuman strength. And he just kept yelling, "Who's going to tell me what to do? Who's going to tell me what to do?"
So, was he killed at the end? Because that would be the tragedy.
I believe he was. I'm binge watching it, so I've just been tearing through it. But it's a it's really, you know, it's really like, I don't know.
So Bill, I agree with you. I am allowing negative in, and that's a mistake. So I got to shield myself because I happen to be a very sensitive person. You know, and I make jokes that are sometimes horrific, as you, of course, do. Everyone knows your jokes are horrific, but you're making a point with them. You know, you're trying to, you know, you're calling out shit, and that's what.
Well, I think a lot of times people don't even understand that, you know, humor is also used because you actually care about something.
That's my whole argument.
And you don't want to feel the feeling, so it's a way of pushing it away. So you're not joking about it because you don't care. You're joking about it because it hurts you to think about it.
I've been preaching this, what you just said, what you're saying is brilliant and it's accurate. And people don't even understand
gallows
sarcasm.
Humor.
Gallows humor. how I dealt with all the deaths, how we deal with death, how you deal with a war, how you deal with things. It's too soon. Well, not if you're in so much pain you have to say it. You know, that's where too soon comes from. It's too soon if you're doing it because you don't care and you're an idiot. You know, you're just saying something to be rude.
Yeah, yeah. There's it's like, you know, it's like anything, but it's not a blanket statement. You know.
Well, that's like, what I think.
Too soon, if you lack the ability to find the release, you're searching for it. You don't find it. You actually add to the pain. But if you find the release, you actually help people. But that is the one of the thrills of watching somebody trying to do that, because yeah. It could just blow up in their face. And then when it doesn't work and the comedian brings more pain to people, comedians are in the back wall dying laughing. Not because right. They want to see people have more pain. They're laughing at the pain that the person on stage is now going through, watching them try to dig their way out of it.
Because
Go ahead. But we need people who don't even do stand up to talk about that and tell us what it is.
There are people that are motivational.
They're like all over the place, Bob.
I know the Gary V's of the world that are telling you the positive. They're trying to tell you to let in the positive and bring back things like love and kindness. And that's not something that I think you would go out and preach, even though that's what you're made of. And you would go out and make fun of love and kindness in one of your voices. Oh, he's got to be kinder. And then that would be hilarious, because I know that you believe that people should be nicer.
Like that you brought up somebody's name. I don't even know who that guy is.
Right. He's a motivational guy and he's very popular and he actually is doing good for people.
Good for him.
Exactly. Yeah. But then there's a lot of people that are preaching.
Playing the conference rooms of some of the best hotels out there. I wonder how you work up as a motivational speaker. You probably start off at like motels, standing in the parking lot.
Hey, man. It's all about the RF mic. You got to make sure you got the headset, the Tony Robbins headset.
Yeah. You got to have that thing going on. And then you got to do the whole, just cheering them up. Like, hey, man, you know, God doesn't want you to have that rusted out car. You know,
I find that people don't get sarcasm, facetiousness, satire. It's like dead right now. You couldn't even make it.
It isn't, Bob. It isn't.
Exactly. It isn't. It's not dead. That's what I'm saying.
You should play Al Gore.
Someone told me that once, but I don't
want to
play a guy.
But you also have the way he would do that. Like, you remember they were like.
Yeah, I don't want to play a waffler. I don't want to be the waffler. I was just being comedic.
Oh, my God. That would be the most fun thing to fucking play.
Well, I don't see a sketch written about me playing Al Gore in this great show, A Moral Compass, which is right now on Roku in the U.S., U.K., and Canada. And it's a comedy and a dark comedy. I'm not listed on here because I was not even in your thought process to play Al Gore,
Bob,
a waffling politician.
Bob, I'm going to level with you. You weren't good enough.
Do you watch Ted Lasso? That's a good show.
Believe in love after love?
I'm sorry, we got to pay for that. We have to cut that out. Do you watch Ted Lasso? That would be a show I think you would like.
Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind.
I'm sorry, we can't use that. That's a song.
I'm going to start doing that anytime you ask me a question I don't want to answer. Do I watch Ted Lasso? I have not yet.
How can I be sure in a world that's so constantly changing?
Oh, what song is that? I don't know that. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, where I stand with you. I'm trying to think it's the Animals, but it's not. Whenever it's an old ass song. Nobody old enough is listening.
I thought that was from the 80s.
No, that's an old, old song.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking of your act.
I have this thing here that answers. Remember this thing? This is how I feel about you.
Eat shit. Fuck you.
That's a little thing I have that can do the work for me.
I actually like that.
I know.
I wish I had one of those in my bedroom. When my wife starts talking, I would love to do that.
You're an asshole. Fucking jerk.
It's really good.
My God, I want one of those.
Yeah. It's.
I was fine with eat shit, fuck you. Just if I could do that one day, my wife was like, so what are your plans today?
Because you know that. Fuck you.
Yeah.
That's all it says. It's five bullet points.
And you know what would be the best? It's just waiting days and days and days, just waiting for the perfect setup. What are you doing today? Eat shit. Fuck you.
The only nightmare is you got to keep new batteries in it. That's the important part, because timing is everything.
Oh, my God.
So
I love that somebody came up with that and has a nice house.
I bet they do not have a nice house now.
Why? Well, come on, Bob. You're so negative. Why can't
you're
they
right.
have a house?
They have a mansion with a credenza, all from inventing this.
You're an asshole.
I mean, come on. And it's like a Philly accent, too. You're an asshole.
It is. And it's got a high-pitched voice, like a little guy with a weaselly little nose.
Fucking jerk. Fucking jerk. Eat shit. Fuck you.
The eat shit, fuck you does not need a stop. It does not need, it should go right after one another. It's kind of perfect.
Oh, God. I want to have next time, you know, they give you notes on a script. What do you think if this guy did this instead? Eat shit. Fuck you. But then okay. They can't say you're difficult because you didn't say it.
You pushed the button, but you had nothing to do with it.
You know, that's a great, you know, I talk about comedy, you know, to like, is therapy is when you're in a writer's room and they come back with the network notes. And then You just have one person read the notes. So they want us to do this. And then somebody just, eat shit, fuck you. And everyone can just laugh. And not think about all the work you have in front of you.
It is weird that they'll come back with something that has nothing to do with the show you wanted to make.
You know, I got to be honest with you. Netflix was fucking amazing. Netflix just said, push it further. That was the one
that's
note.
That's what I was going to. Maybe they were just talking that to you privately in the office.
Oh, how can I be sure?
Let me see you saying that, because somebody knows. Let's just see. Here it is. Here we go. It is The Rascals. And it's, The Rascals, song by The Rascals. And they were good, The Rascals. Remember them?
No, but you're really making me miss Casey Kasem. He had so much more passion.
Keep your legs in the air and your cock in my mouth. So here's a question.
That was good Casey Kasem.
Well, I'm really good at those kind of felt things that were that, like that announcer on Sesame. I'm good at the, you know, guys with microphones standing in front of things. Question for you. Can you talk about this movie thing that's going to happen, or do you want to keep it quiet?
What movie thing that's going to happen?
Your specific movie, Amnesia Man. You have a movie...
It's an SNL character.
That is a good idea for
one. Oh, no. Yeah, no, it's too early. You know, there's okay. So many things can happen between now and the end of this podcast. We'll have to see.
That's true. In fact, I just got a... Oh, my God. It's not happening. I just got a note. It's so weird. No, wait a minute. No, it's going. It's going to be in deadline tonight.
Eat shit. Fuck you.
How's my movie doing?
You're an asshole. Fucking jerk.
I also have a talking eight ball. You want to hear that? You want to ask?
What is he saying that after you're an asshole? Fucking what?
Eat shit. Fuck you. You're an asshole. Fucking jerk.
Fucking jerk.
Oh.
I also have a talking eight ball that they never made, but they sent it to me for nothing. And here it is. And it says Bob Saget's talking magic eight ball. So ask.
I want to hear it.
Ask it a question. Ask All a right. question.
Is Bob Saget funny?
My answer is yes. It is definitely possible.
And then he bangs a gong. So it's definitely possible. Doesn't say yes. Yes, it is definitely possible. Does Bill Burr prefer laying down to standing up?
My answer is, it is too soon to tell.
We don't know. That's actually a good answer. That's, you don't know.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows about whether you like.
Nobody knows the troubles I've seen.
Now, see, you can't sing that. That takes you back to a time. I am so sick of people yelling out, "I'm canceled," during it in the middle of a joke. Let me at least finish it and then cancel me. I mean, you know, let me get there.
Bob, I think you're campaigning to be dangerous. Okay, you're America's uncle. Right? Isn't that what you are?
I'm America's dad. And
I thought you were uncle. Were you a dad on that show?
Yeah. John Stamos was the uncle.
Oh.
When you were a kid.
That makes sense.
Did you watch Full House as a kid?
I'll be honest with you, Bob. I never saw an episode of it.
That makes
sense. I saw you guys all walking out there with your hair flying all over the place, looking like figure skaters. I was like, I am not watching this show. You guys all look like you just got done doing a triple axle. I was like, yeah. I'm all set on this. I was jealous. I had like an afro. It just went out.
When I met you, you had just, the afro was coming down. You had about 2 inches of red frolicky hair. And it was adorable.
Frolicky.
And you were angry. You were doing stand-up and they were rude. And it was a life-changing moment that we've talked about before. It was the thing that there's no real
footage.
It's
when I was at the Rascal. I was at Rascals.
No, it was when you were at the Tweeter Center in Camden on the opening.
I thought
Anthony
it was
tour.
When I was doing the, I was in the original cast of Jersey Boys. And when it went to Broadway, they recasted.
You were too tall.
I was too orange.
How many times did you see Jersey Boys?
I never saw that, but you know what? I was on a plane and I sat right next to Frankie Valli.
Oh, I did too. Tell me about yours. Tell me your experience, because I love the guy.
Oh, I thought it was special. I mean, who the fuck says I sat next to Frankie Valli and the other guy says I did too?
I just did.
All right, well, let's hear your story.
No, I want to hear yours.
No, your Frankie Valli story first. I was amazed the shape the guy was in, and when the flight was over, he popped right up. Like, he had the energy of like a 25-year-old.
Well, he's literally, he sits in a jacket. He sits in those little boxes that you turn, and then he pops out when the flight lands.
That's not what I felt. I felt like this guy is an incredible star who's 60 years on the road and still popping up like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you get up out of the chair like a fucking old linebacker, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
From doing what, Bob? What have you, you haven't having to work for shit in this business. We all know it.
No, I walk. I'm going to do Pilates in a few minutes. That's a Greek woman I'm seeing.
I kind of like that joke. I was going to be a dick, but I like that joke.
I was just going to wait. I just appreciate you not making fun of me talking about Frankie Valli popping out of those things you turned. That was the dumbest fucking thing I ever said. And you,
I just like
quiet.
That you brought up Greek women. Greek women are gorgeous.
Yeah, they are. Have you been to Santorini with your wife? It's very sexy.
No, but you know what? I started to watch that new Gwyneth Paltrow Sex, Love, and Goop. I don't know what it was. I don't know what it is, dude. I put that on. I was just like, shut it off. Shut it off.
Was it dirty? I mean, goop means, I guess it would mean.
It was, I don't know what it was. It was like, it was a bunch of fours and sixes trying to have tantric sex. And it, I think, I don't know what it was. I don't want to see me sexualized.
Are you saying a?
It was, I don't even know what I was. It was really my issue. It was my issue. I put it on and it was so like, you know, this is your erogenous zones on your body. And I was like, shut it off. Shut it. I was literally yelling, shut it off.
So it's a documentary kind of thing? It's not a narrative?
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is.
It's got goop. Goop just sounds
like
spoo.
It was like a bunch of couples went to this fucking place and they were going to teach them how to fucking bust a nut without even being touched. I don't know what it was. And it was just like, it was just, you know, regular people. You know,
well, you want tens. You don't want a four. But if you said a four and a
six. I don't
want
to see me being sexually active.
No, I don't want to see you being sexual, even though this whole thing started with you lying down because you literally have You are literally.
It really wasn't about how the people looked. I'm using that as a deflection. It was about, I don't know what it was. I recoiled when it came on. It was like, I can't even describe it. I'm telling you, it's my issue that has nothing to do with Gwyneth or the people that are like on the show. I mean, I'm really like proving the point of the show, which it's so fucked up that you can't even discuss. I don't know what it was. It was just, I don't know what it was, dude. I don't even know what it was. I just remember screaming, shut it off, shut it off.
What network? I never
it's on Netflix.
Holy shit. And
I thought it was like a documentary because it says like people go through sexual therapy with a therapist that sometimes involves intercourse. And I was like going like, what kind of fucking horse shit is this? Yeah. That somebody's giving you therapy and then they bang you? I mean, it sounds like, what is this? So I thought it was like a documentary. I thought this was going to be like the Tiger King meets some creep. That's what I thought it was going to be. And instead, it was a bunch of people just well beyond the age, if you want to even know that they were sexually active, like my age, going into like a yoga studio. Is somebody like rubbed their hands together and held it above their junk. And they were like going like, oh. I was just going, shut it off. Shut it off.
Did your wife want to watch it?
My wife was dying laughing at my fucking reaction.
So I love that she gets so, you. That's
oh, like, yeah, she wouldn't shut it up.
Right.
It achieved what I wanted. Was I wanted to put on something and laugh with my wife. Like, we had a great laugh the other night. We watched this South Park episode about gentrification.
Right.
You have to see it.
I heard about it.
Oh, Soto Sopa. You know, they always do like NoHo and WeHo, and they just go into these areas. They kick out everybody else, bring in a bunch of fucking white people, and then they rename. Like even, you know, like in New York, they did it. Hell's Kitchen became Clinton, you know, or whatever. And right. Yeah, so this part of South Park, they call it Soto Sopa. So it's deliberately super long. I forget what it stands for. And I will tell you one joke that they have, because they build up this whole nice area around these poor people's house. And they have this gay bar right next to the garage, and it's called By the Garage, B-I. Okay.
They, you know, they found a form that I don't see people. There were people picketing them at one point, about 10 years ago. But I don't see them getting shit. And they really bust a lot of doors
You just
down.
Keep fucking shouting fire in a crowded movie theater. Why? I'm talking about how brilliant those guys are.
Now I'm saying that.
You're trying to get these hairy-legged chicks all stirred up again.
How dare you criticize my comment? I was basically leading toward how brilliant they
are. Can I ask you a question? What's behind that comment?
When
you say, how dare I, like I just insulted your family crest, we have a duel?
No, I'm not actually upset at you.
I feel like, how dare you?
My words and my inflection have nothing to do with how I feel.
I feel like, how dare you is an outdated expression.
How double dare you?
My double dare you is a challenge, but how dare you?
Yeah, because you were saying that I was saying that South Park was, I was bringing up the negatives of people's reaction to it. If you'll let me finish, remember Terrence and Phillip, may I finish? Okay, I'm finished. You know, that was their, I think that they are the most brilliant people that do this. I can't wait to see that episode because I heard about it.
You know what, Bob? They're not going to give you a voiceover, so you can stop.
No, they made fun of me in the show once. But I met Frankie Valli on a plane. So let me tell you my story, because you didn't want to hear the rest of it. Because you were too busy thinking that I was upset by what you said, when I look up to you, Bill. I mean, I actually do. I mean, I don't think I would have... I wouldn't be able to even get through the day if I didn't think about what's Bill doing, what's Bill thinking.
Ah, fuck. I'm keeping you alive.
Pretty
what
much.
Can I do to be less inspirational?
Maybe sacrifice a body part?
Okay. Well, I'm open. What are we?
I'd say every week a toe.
Oh, this is an ongoing thing?
I'd like to keep our friendship alive. I was next to Frankie Valli because I used to open for Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons.
But enough about how you made it in this business.
No, I didn't get nothing. I made like $1,000. I was playing in Pittsburgh. And Jersey Boys is based on the death of his daughter, a very sad overdose. And that's what Jersey Boys is about. That's the linchpin of the movie. I was opening for them.
Made a musical about somebody losing
their
daughter.
That's the dramatic, sad part of the movie, of the play. And I was there that night. I was physically there the night that it happened. And I was able to talk to Frankie because I just lost a sister. And I made jokes about it, not with Frankie, but with other people at that time because I didn't know how to deal with it. And he never forgot it. That I gave a shit and didn't fuck up by bothering him, but literally before he went through the curtain, doing a show right like 8 hours after he found out. And that is like, may us never know about that. That's just the worst. And when I saw him on the plane,
you just have an incredible ability to make everybody stories about yourself.
Yeah, that's the key to why I'm not.
Were you in wrestling? Because your two-point reversals conversationally are incredible.
Would you say this to Muhammad Ali as well?
What does that have to do? Are you saying you're the greatest?
When I said the first part, I knew you were going to say that. This is a big mistake, this whole thing. I'm not cutting it out because all I'm doing is digging holes and you're covering them with dirt. But I'm saying that it's not about myself. I'm saying... that I was there for a historic moment with Frankie. Because you said, let me hear your story first. That's all I was doing, was telling you. It was kind of a poignant story. I'm sorry.
Bob, what are you talking about right now? What have you been talking about this entire podcast?
Pretty much about your show. That's how I did it. Your show, Immoral Compass, which is on Roku Channel in US, UK, and Canada. And how much I love your stand up, and you're going to be touring everywhere, literally everywhere. And you're sold out.
Is there somebody talking in your ear? I just love when you do that.
Yeah, I'm talking.
We're going to go live to Bob Saget's garage.
Actually, Frankie
this
Valli.
Is where he cries.
Hold on.
In his house.
I've got Frankie Valli. He doesn't think I said anything inappropriate. In fact, he liked that I recognized that he did the show after his horrible loss. Bill, I lost you again. You're getting calls. Who would be calling you that you'd want to talk to?
My therapist.
Do you have a therapist?
Yeah, Bob, I'm friends with you.
I'm going to need to call mine after
I
this.
Was fine. I was fine until I met you. Big Bob Saget. Oh, look at me. Look at me and my credenza. Oh, yeah, Frankie Valli. Yeah, we opened with the, yeah.
I was
there the biggest night of his tragedy. And he took time out of crying to thank me, to let me know what a great person I was. And then you give the appendage. And then he went out and did a show. It was amazing to see. It was all about you.
That's true.
When you wake up, when you're in the shower, do you sing "All of Me"? Why not listen to "All of Me"?
I don't sing in
the
shower.
It's about fucking me. And not you.
I got a question for you.
Hey, Bob, can you tell me what you did on 9/11?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I cried.
Why? Did you have a gig down in the financial district that then had to be rescheduled?
I had a gig in the Windows of the World.
Oh, Bobby.
What do you want me to do? I mean, you were trying to.
Hey, I liked it, Bob. I liked it. You were actually giving these people an authentic of what comics do when we fucking hang out with each other.
Right, this but I think I got to take out three things. One is how self-involved it sounds to you and maybe to the people of the Frankie Valli story. And
Bob, I acted like I didn't remember the Holocaust.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, but you can do no wrong, Bill. I'm a sensitive guy that doesn't sing in the fucking shower.
All of me.
I don't sing
Everything
in the shower.
Everything is about Bobby.
What about you? Wait a second. Hold on a second. Hold your horse.
Now he's got his fire up. Here we go.
My Monday morning podcast happens also on Thursdays. You didn't bother to go Thursday morning podcast. And what the fuck do you talk about the whole time? Your perception of how you see the world. That's
Bob,
about.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Doesn't it suck having to get guests?
Well,
that's a loaded question.
Just this one. Now, first thing, you're one of my favorite people that I know.
You never look at me when you say that.
You're one of the
look
favorite
down.
People. Bill, you're one of
I
my
favorite. I respect your talents, Bill. And, you know, I feel
Bill,
like
Bill, honestly, you're one of my favorite
people
that I've ever known in my life. But, no, I actually love you. And...
Well, Bob, you're moving too fast for me, okay?
Hold on, I'm having a dead.
It is so.
It is so, yes.
It is so.
Moving too fast.
Right, so the answer is, I don't know what the question is. It is hard to get guests, but I've been on the, what I've been doing now is just letting it happen organically. It just feels like, oh, I just talked to this person. And it feels nice. So I kind of have been, I guess, following the organicness of that. I haven't been going, oh, God, I hope I, if I don't hear from somebody, that means they're not doing it. You know, if I say, hey, could you reach out to their people? And then someone says, hey, would you like to have this person? And I go, well, maybe, but not right now, you know, because I don't like to say no to people. But I also want the podcast to be really, really strong. And make, there's so many options out there. I mean, I would just listen to you. I mean, I don't know who else. I mean, there's so many.
Bob, you're spiraling.
That's what you said at the beginning.
You just started like, I don't know, you started talking and then I felt like, you know, I was listening to you. And I think somewhere in there you started panicking and you just started going and going and going.
No, I did. I answered the question organically. And then I thought of the other part of it where you have to go after people.
Bob, how many more knickknacks do you need to buy to fill the void?
Actually, it's funny. I moved over to ATC, which is a disease and it's not curable. But a wonderful guy named Russell said, you need more stuff behind you. Get more of your stuff. And I thought, that's going to look like a garage sale. You know, all things are final.
Bob, we are thrilled to have you over at All Things Comedy. All right. You're a legend. You know, you got your start on Gunsmoke. You know, I really enjoyed you in the original Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah.
I mean, I've just been following your career. You know, when you were standing in the black and white saluting the casket as it rolled by. I've been watching you for so long. And just to see that you're still so young and vibrant.
Did you know that I was.
What do you do, Bob, to wake up and still hold on to that excitement?
Well, usually I let my penis do the walking for me. It tells me how my day is going to be. It's kind of like a sundial or a rudder.
Are you over your relationship with Nancy Sinatra?
No.
I know when she dropped you in 68, that was a hard thing. She was at the top of the charts.
She didn't leave me so quick because I have her boots. I kept them.
What, is it true she wrote that song about you?
Yeah, yeah. The boots were made for walking. And yeah, it's about me. She said one day to me, you keep saying you've got something for me. Uh-huh. And then that was it. And then she wanted to walk out, but I had her boots. I was wearing them. We had the same size feet. But who's the strangest person that you dated before you wound up with your beautiful wife?
You know what? I actually dated great women, to be honest with you.
All of them?
Yeah.
So none of them will come out and say anything bad about you? Is that why you did that?
No, I mean, I hooked up with some psychos, but I never dated a psycho.
Never?
No, I mean, once I found out they were crazy, I was just like, shoving off the buffalo. I just got out of it. Like, why would you keep dating somebody that's fucking crazy? I mean, the first time they're like,
that was my mistake. That's the difference. I did that.
It's all about Bob.
No, I made a mistake.
Let's bring it back to Bob.
No, it's called a conversation,
Bill.
You got
things to say.
Bill, it's called a conversation.
Really? You should have been a terrorist. You hijack every fucking conversation.
Oh, my God. That is a good joke.
That's not a bad joke.
No, it's a good joke.
I got my teeth clean. Look at that. That's nice and white.
That's really nice. Show me how you did. You have your butthole cleaned out too?
I had it bleached. I said I wanted to match my teeth. Bob, I have to go. I have something at noon.
I also actually have to go.
All right. You want to edit that out? You want to be the guy that has to go so you can feel better about yourself?
No, I think the more berating of me, the better this thing's going to be for your fans.
Bob, Bill, they're going to see the love.
I love
Bob,
you.
Every time I see a homeless guy crying in a parking garage, I picture you in your house.
Eat shit. Fuck you. Fuck you.
I love that thing.
I want to smoke a cigar, so we'll figure out.
Let's do that.
Yes. So we'll look at each other's things, and then we'll look at our schedules.
All right.
Hey, best of luck with this show. Everybody should watch this Immoral Compass.
Immoral Compass. Tyler Falbo, guest starring, Vince Vaughn, Bobby Lee, Al Madrigal,
Nick
myself. Nick
You're
Schwartzen.
In the damn thing. Yeah. And it's going to be, of course, it is on the Roku channel.
Mary Lynn Reisgrab.
Marilyn Ruskin, I adore. U.S., U.K., and Canada, and other countries as it becomes the biggest thing that's ever been anywhere. And the finale of F is for Family, this is the season to enjoy. And Bill on tour everywhere. And you can find him at bobsaget.com. You can see Bill's tour. Bill, I love you, and I will smoke with you soon.
All right. Love you too, brother. We'll see you.
All right, man.
Bye-bye.
I don't know what to do. Do I edit? I said things that he's right about. That's why he's brilliant. I love Bill Burr. I feel bad about everything I said. Not everything, but it is a problem I had my whole life of turning things back to me. He called it out. I own it. I think it's insecurity. I guess I'll work on it. I'm 65. Losing my voice. Nothing to worry about. God damn, I love Bill Burr. I just adore this man. And he's just one of my favorite people. So get him on tour. You want to see his stand-up. It is, he does things and the way he works. And he's got a giant damn heart and a really good man. I don't mean oversized. I don't mean he's in danger. Cigars are okay for him. And I love him. So go to BillBurr.com. You know where to catch him. And watch this thing. He really wants everybody to see it. Immoral Compass on the Roku channel, US, UK, and Canada. And it's out now, out right now. And catch him on tour. And he's got a bunch of stuff coming up. Just always follow. Look at him in The Mandalorian. He always talks about it. Not at all. I love Bill Burr. And I don't give a shit who knows it. That's almost a quote from Norman Lear. Oh, I name dropped. Damn, I need to call my therapist. Guys, thanks for listening. I'm really happy to be over here at All Things Comedy, and I look forward to the next episode a whole lot. And I want to thank my friend Bill Burr. I want to, but I can't because my feelings are hurt. But how can your feelings be hurt if the truth is spoken? That's what's so fucking awesome. The guy is so lucid and speaks the truth. And... And I'll get through the day. You know what to do. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. It's everywhere. Look at the thing. It's got the thing. Go to bobsaget.com. I'm on tour. I'll be doing a special. I don't know when, but I will be doing it. And it will be, I think, my favorite one because I'm talking about things in a way that I haven't. Unlike how Bill dignified my my self-absorption. Although I guess that's what a lot of stand-ups are. Anyway, Monday Morning Podcast, doesn't need promotion. It's one of the number one podcasts that exists with good reason. The man is just fucking brilliant. And I love him. Thanks, Bill Burr. Thanks for you guys for listening. I hope it's brought you some joy hearing me tortured. I knew this was going to happen because I was not at my best last night. I was ornery. I was ornery and a little selfish. So this was a due punishment that I deserved. So next time I have Bill on, it'll be different. I don't know what it'll be. I might have a new credenza. I don't know. If you're watching on YouTube, tell me what the fuck this thing is behind me. I don't know. It's YouTube, .com/Bob Saget. And then see me out on tour. I'd love to have you laughing. It's really great to see people laughing again and hear them. Hearing them and seeing them and smelling them, which means I don't need to take a test that day. I'm wishing you the best. Take it easy, everybody.